This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful and incredible Tuesday. We will talk about, well, the infighting with the Trump administration right now, Elon, Peter Navarro. We'll touch on that really briefly. We're going to talk about the right and its kneecapping of itself. Companies are still engaging in DEI. I want to first address this little thing. Not a little thing. I didn't mean to put it that way, but something I haven't really talked about on the show and something I'm not going to go into now. In fact, I'll skip all the names and stuff like that, and I'll explain why in a moment. In Texas, Frisco, Texas, I actually used to live in Frisco, Texas. There's this story. I'm positive you know what I'm talking about. You've read it. Of this 17-year-old kid at a track meet gets into some sort of an altercation with a different kid from a different school. The kid pulls out a knife, stabs him, kills him. It's all terrible. Okay. It's all terrible. The kid who did the stabbing, allegedly, is arrested. In fact, he just got let out on bail, but he's arrested and 17 years old. And the reason I haven't brought it up, to be honest with you, is same reason I don't do mass shooting radio. I don't do plane crash radio. I don't do that. It's just really, really all ugly and terrible. And I find it to be insanely sad in so many different ways. I have a 16-year-old son. And I just can't. I mean, he does track, right? And I hate to do this, but I personalize these things now. I just don't think I would be able to go on if I lost my buddy like that. I don't think I'd be able to go on. I don't. That's how much I love my boys. And not only sad from that angle, how horribly sad for the other angle too. 17-year-old. Apparently he's never been taught how to control himself and just destroys his life. Ended someone else's life. And unless the justice system is super evil in this area, that kid's going to prison, if not for the rest of his life. He's going to be going to prison for a large portion of his life at 17 years old. Ended someone's life. Because he can't control himself. And now 17-year-old boy walking into a state prison in Texas. Yeek. You better make some friends fast, buddy. Just, it's all awful. It's terrible. And so I'm not going to spend any time on it. But I am going to, if I have to, point out one part of it that does make me smile. Because there is a part of it that makes me smile. I saw this headline. The legal defense fund that was set up for the kid who did the stabbing, it will be used, and I quote, for a new home for the family. The family took this six-figure legal defense fund. Was it like $400,000+? And they're going to buy a new home for themselves. And the reason it makes me laugh, the reason I love it is this. I want stupid people to stop being stupid. That's the ultimate goal, right? The ultimate goal is for dumb people to stop being dumb. Because if you're being honest, dumb people hold you back in life. We've talked about it all the time. Bottom 5%, bottom 10%, put a percentage on it. The reason there's bad traffic is not because all the drivers on the road are bad. It's a few dumb ones. The reason you have to stay longer in class is not all because all the students are bad. It's a few dumb ones. The reason you have all these different rules. The reasons you have so many medical forms. The reasons you... It's just a few dumb people who are constantly ruining life for everybody. It's why I have a policy of blocking cell phone numbers, blocking people on social media. If I even sniff dumb, if I just get a whiff of dumb, boop, gone. It's an ongoing effort to cut dumb people out of my life. When we get these stupid pieces of hate mail, I'm so offended. What do I tell you? Don't listen. I don't want you to listen. It's easier for both of us. You go be happy, and I'll be happier knowing the moron is left. It works out, right? You know what I'm talking about. Dumb people make your life harder. But the goal is not punishment. That's not the end goal. The goal is for dumb people to become less dumb. That way they stop hurting all of us. If you rallied to social media to give money to a 17-year-old who just stabbed someone to death at a track meet, if that inspired you to give money, you're really, really dumb. Real, unbelievably dumb. Maybe you've been manipulated your whole life. Maybe you're just genuinely low IQ. But whatever it is, if you gave money to that, you're a stupid person. And so the reason it makes me smile that they're buying a house with it is this is a wonderful opportunity for stupid people to get smart. Let's say you gave them $100 and you thought you were doing something good. And then you woke up and, of course, you see that they're buying a new home with the money. And maybe you're mad. Hey, they're wasting it. That's not why I get... No, oh, good. All this is good, right? This is all very healthy. But what you need to do is you need to just walk through this and examine thyself. Who's the moron here? Is it the guy who's spending a bunch of cash you gave him? Or is it the one who gave him the cash? You see, this is an opportunity for dumb people to become smart. If you gave to a criminal's legal defense fund and you woke up today and found out his family's buying a shiny new home with it, it's your fault. And your stupidity has caught up with you. And I hope you feel dumb, because feeling dumb is important. It's super important when you do something dumb to feel dumb. Then it creates an opportunity for you to be smarter the next time. So the next time some dirtball kills someone and you have an opportunity to pay for his legal defense, maybe the next time it'll give you a moment of pause of, wait a minute, maybe this isn't on the up and up. Maybe I'm not picking the right side here. You see, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for people to get smarter, and I love that. That's what I want for all of society. Jesse, the Trump administration infighting between Peter Navarro and Elon Musk fits the saying, the lieutenants fight when the general is weak. The inability of President Trump to develop a means to overcome the opposition of communist federal judges will be viewed as a sign of weakness. Can you offer some advice? I actually don't agree with what you said. Now, let me clarify. Peter Navarro and Elon Musk, I have no problem with either of them. I have no problem with them fighting. My only point has been repeatedly, I don't like you fighting in public. They're fighting on social media like little girls. It's awful. It's unprofessional. If you want to have... Look, we got rumors. Remember we found out that Marco Rubio and Elon Musk had a knockdown drag-out fight. Apparently, it lasted a long time, and they were screaming at each other. I'm fine with that. You know why? Neither of them did it on television. Neither of them did it on social media. The only reason we found out about it is some vicious little snake in the White House leaked the thing to the press. Otherwise, we'd have never known. They did it behind closed doors. I have no problem if Trump's lieutenants argue behind closed doors. I have no problem with that. And I guarantee Trump doesn't either. Have people fight. Let your people fight. Let's have an argument. Shoot, Me and Jewish producer Chris and Corey and I just had an argument during the break about what kind and size of whiteboard we wanted for our Pam Bondi ticker. You know, the ticker we talked about, I think it was in the first hour, where there's two sides of it, and we're going to do a little notch every time she's on Fox News, and we'll do a little notch for every government employee who's been arrested. We had a legitimate argument. To which size? No, that's too big. It's too small. We can't put it there. That's fine, but you know what I'm not going to do? I'm not going to tell everybody about it. Wait. Anyway, you understand exactly what I'm saying. It's fine to have your fights privately. Now, I'm going to play something for you real quick. This is an elected Democrat in California.
Every single week, we have a litigation working group where a large group of us, and I'm talking there's maybe 75 members of the House, sit down every single week with the AGs to talk about legal strategy. This is all going on every single week behind the scenes. It is nonstop talk, nonstop introduction of bills and legislation, nonstop being on social media as much as we can without being throttled and without the, you know, crazy analytics and doing all these things.
We're going to have a discussion about them, how they play the game versus how we play the game. Next.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Okay, so this Democrat in California talks about how she's coordinating. Well, get to emails and things like that in a little bit. But here she was again.
Every single week, we have a litigation working group where a large group of us, and I'm talking there's maybe 75 members of the House, sit down every single week with the AGs to talk about legal strategy. This is all...
Her name's Laura Friedman. She's an elected Democrat in California. Who she is not important, but I just wanted to, again, briefly touch on something we've talked about before. We cannot win if we're the only ones who play by the rules. It doesn't work that way. Life doesn't work that way. Life is not a Disney movie back before it all went gay. Life is not Captain America. That's not how life works. If we are about to play a football game against another team and the other team decides they're going to bring guns and knives and billy clubs onto the field, well, yeah, the other team is bad. They're evil. They're wrong. But if nobody's going to stop them from doing it, we have to do likewise, because if we don't, we're going to lose, period. We either do likewise or we're going to lose. And I bring this up again because of all the hand-wringing I'm seeing. I actually saw an article today in the National Review talking about how lawless Donald Trump was. Now, the National Review is allegedly on the right, talking about how lawless Trump was for sending the MS-13 guy to El Salvador and arguing against it. If the communists are going to ignore right from wrong, the Constitution, the law, anything, and bring in 20 million people in 4 years, and then we are going to hand wring and debate and argue about deporting one guy, we are not going to win. We are not going to make it. We have to have a really serious introspective discussion about who we want to be, why we want to be it, and what the end goal is. Because the end goal cannot be losing the right way. Sign me out on that. I am completely out. I want to win. It's important that we win. It's important that this country we've been given, that we protect it, that we preserve it, that we make sure it continues on. And I am just flabbergasted at how many people, not on the left, we know they're evil demons, how many people on the right unknowingly exist to facilitate the communist destruction of the United States of America. Any chance they get, when the right pushes back, you'll see them saying things. Well, don't react. That's what they want. Have you ever seen someone on the right say that? No, you can't react to this horrible, awful thing they're doing. They want you to react. So don't do anything. Maybe that guy's actually paid controlled opposition. Maybe he genuinely believes it. Either way, he's useless and should be thrown out completely. Well, don't go too far, too fast. The communist never thinks like that. Those thoughts, those words never cross his mind in a million years. When he has a chance, he slams on the gas. It's all gas, no brakes, baby. As fast as he can destroy, he destroys. And what we cannot do is think for a second that the Constitution will save us. Now, this is not me trashing the Constitution. It's really genuinely not. I love the Constitution. Love it. It's an incredible founding document that helped us set up a nation that was free for a couple hundred years. But it's also not the savior that will stop American communists, because they don't care what's on the piece of paper. They don't care about it. So you can't, if they don't care about it, then why do you keep holding it up? I've used the example before. It's ridiculous, but it's 100% true. When you hold up, well, the Constitution will save us. When you say things like that to the communist infestation, the communist destruction of America, you might as well hold up a piece of paper to a charging grizzly bear that says, no bear tax, bear attacks allowed. Whoa, 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 Mr. Grizzly Bear. Hold on. Maybe you didn't read the paper. That's how stupid and childish you sound when you say the Constitution will save us from communists who don't care about it. Look, I wish they cared about it. But if this is a set of rules, and that's essentially what it is. Hey, government, they're not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to do this. They're not allowed to do that. They're not allowed to infringe on this. In fact, we're going to write it all down. Government's only allowed to do this, this, and this, and nothing else. That's what the Constitution was. Wonderful founding document, supreme law of the land. But if the communists look at those rules and say, oh, yeah, not interested. Anyway, well, once they're done tearing through everything, when we have to try to figure out how to pick up the pieces from all the destruction, we can't then reference the document they just discarded and stay within those rules. Oh, you imported 20 million barbarians? Completely unlawful? Treasonous? Murderous? Evil? Wow, that's terrible. Anyway, should I get them out? Hold on. Let me consult the Constitution. Well, Article 15, Section 20 says that I actually am not. We can't win. That's a road to loss. And this is why I rant about testosterone, because the GOP lacks it. The GOP lacks the testosterone, the boldness, the focus they need to take back this country. And they better find it. And if they don't find it, we better go out and elect GOP people who are good enough and smart enough to be taking their male vitality stacks from Chalk every single day. In fact, that might be the Jesse Kelly Show criteria. What, Chris? Listen, all I want to know, I don't really need to know your position on the issues, because if you're taking a male vitality stack from Chalk, I automatically know you're the kind of fighter I want, because your T level is going to be through the roof. That it should be a one question questionnaire. Does it count as a questionnaire if there's only one question on it, Chris? Either way, one question on it. Do you take a male vitality stack from Chalk? Natural herbal supplements. It'll raise your T levels. If he answers yes, he's our guy. If he answers no, well, he's hopeless. You want it? Are you taking yours yet? I take mine every day. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. We'll do some emails next.
Feeling a little stalky? Follow, like, and subscribe on social at Jesse Kelly DC.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Chris, I think about that Smoke on the Water song you just played from Deep Purple, right? It's Deep Purple? Do I have that right? Deep Purple? They didn't have any other hits, did they? None that I've ever heard of. And that song itself, is there a word for a one-hit wonder that's not even a whole song? It's just the guitar riff. The rest of that song's awful. But everyone knows the guitar riff, which I admit it does shred. they have one half of one hit. But here's the most amazing part about that. I was thinking about this the other night because there was a band. I actually like this band, so I'm not going to publicly embarrass them. But they're old. They're in their, I believe, 60s or 70s now, and they're still touring, and they were coming to Houston. Anyway, I thought about this. Think about how incredible it must be to be a musician, to have a band. All it takes is one big song, and you have a lifetime of income off of one song. When you think about that. What, Chris? What? Chris, okay. All right, that's a very fair point. Jewish producer Chris said you have to play it everywhere you go all the time. I understand that. I understand that it would get real old real fast. I get it. However, think about this. Most of these bands, let's call it a one-hit wonder band. When does this song, which you probably didn't even write, but whether you wrote it or not doesn't matter. You're in your 20s. None of these bands are usually young. You do one great thing in your 20s, and you have income for the rest of your life until you die or have to quit playing. You have paid for travel, which I know would, if you're a family man, that would get real old. It sounds better when you're in your 20s than when you're in your 40s or 50s. Like, oh yeah, women every day. Yeah, that would get real old real fast. But paid for travel, guaranteed income. If you're smart and invest your money, you're going to be a lot of money. Well, Chris, I know they invest in other things. I get that. But you know that's not all of them. There have to be some guys who, I mean, some guys have to have one of you people along to help. What, Chris? I'm saying to help. Yes, a manager is what I meant. Yes, of course, a manager is what I meant. But you understand what I mean. There has to be a money guy with some of these guys who says, hey, give me 10% and I'll put it in some mutual funds or something like that. Guaranteed income for your whole life. That's kind of crazy when you think about it. I think it is. I think it's cool. We should write a song. Chris, you can hire somebody to write a song. I talked to a guy. I have no idea why we're talking about this. Who did I talk to? I can't even remember if this was a professional interview. I don't think it was. I think it was a friend I was talking to. Sorry, I don't remember the circumstances. But he said this was in Nashville. You know, Nashville's country music heaven. You go to Nashville and everything's country music everywhere. And Nashville's really kind of turned into LA anymore. But anyway, country music heaven. He said there's just this legion of songwriters there, and they'll write, get this, 200 to 300 songs a year. These songs, isn't that crazy? To just take a blank piece of paper and write it. And you know, most of these guys will never have a hit. And if you do, you'll have one hit. But either way, what I'm trying to say is there's all kinds of songwriters out there. We'll let someone else write it and we'll take all the credit. What, Chris? You said, I can't write it, I can't sing, and I can't play any instruments. No, I've already figured all this out, Chris. What's that thing that you bang that has like the bells on? Is the tambourine? I'm going to be a tambourine man. Now, it's not gay, okay? Have you ever heard the song? Was it the Monkees or somebody? Someone's, hey, Mr. Tambourine Man? That was about me, kind of, in a way. But how hard can it be to play the tambourine? Now, Obbs says, you don't have to say what Obbs says, Chris. Chris just said, I have no rhythm. I was about to point that out. Obbs actually doesn't even want me clapping in church anymore when everybody else claps because she says, I don't clap at the same time as everyone else. But that's not what I hear. To my ears, it feels like I'm clapping when everyone else is clapping. Anyway, as the tambourine man, I will set the tone for the band. The band will follow my lead. The problem is I've been trying to follow others when I'm a leader. Let the tambourine man lead. Someone else writes the songs. Someone else will sing the songs. We cash the checks. Chris, you can do the books or something like that. Hey, Dr. Jesse, I love the show. My 5-year-old daughter outgrew her winter gloves. They may be a little big on you. You know what? That's not very nice. Anyways, did you get interested in alternative history For example, what if the Germans weren't anti-Semitic and all the brilliant scientists responsible for rockets, nukes, computer science had stayed there? I love alternate history. I love historical debates. I love all that stuff. And in fact, I've actually had this talk before. I think we've even talked about it on the air. It's a fascinating thing when you think about it. Okay, so you have Germany, this country. Not, we'll call it Nazi Germany, but you have Germany. Germany, at the time, was a gigantic economic power, manufacturing power. Germany's really the biggest, strongest country in Europe, generally, anyway. And you had this guy, Hitler, he rises to power. But he ends up falling short of his dreams of world conquest. You know, by the grace of God, he falls short. What if you could take every part of Hitler and leave it there, right? Every single part of it, the good, the bad, the everything, except for the whole Jew hate part. What if you could take that part out of him? Would they have been successful? And you could make the argument they would. It, simply for this reason, they would, you know, like all evil regimes do, you would get promoted up the ladder of the Nazi empire by being a committed Nazi, not by being the most capable, not by meritocracy. You were, I mean, guys like Himmler, Himmler was an idiot. He was a total scumbag. Goebbels, you know, the propaganda guy. These guys were idiots and losers for the most part. They weren't highly capable people. Now, the devil himself, Reinhard Heydrich, he is probably a highly intelligent individual, probably a highly capable individual, just happens to be the devil himself with it. But for the most part, these guys, these high-up Nazi people, they were the losers. But they were losers who got promoted based on how committed they were at Nazism. What if you could remove all the Jew hatred from it? What if you set that aside? You could easily make the argument they would have been successful in the Soviet Union. Remember, when they first invaded the Soviet Union, the Soviets had been suffering horribly under Joseph Stalin, because Stalin's like the most evil person who ever lived. The Soviets, at first, they thought to themselves, well, these people might be liberators. Oh, wow, this is wonderful. The Germans are coming in. But almost immediately, the Nazis started Nazi-ing. Hey, great, we just beat all the Soviets. Now, we need all the Jews here. We're going to murder everybody. Wait, what? Hold on, what? No, that doesn't sound right. The local population turning against the Nazis almost immediately, that's a big part of what doomed their invasion. When you really actually think about just that portion of it, Stalin gave these orders to destroy everything as all of the Soviet Union moved to the east away from Germany. And everybody followed those orders after a while, because you knew that the Nazis were going to do as horrible stuff to you as the Soviets. What if the Nazis were nice to everybody in the Soviet Union? They would have told Stalin to go pound sand. Nope, don't think I will. Anyway, it's a fascinating thing. All right, let's talk a little bit about DEI headlines I didn't get to before we wrap this up. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the show, you can download the whole thing on iHeart, Spotify, iTunes. So these major companies, this is from Fox Business, like Kohl's, Dollar Tree, UPS, Nationwide, they haven't changed any DEI policies. They're just simply rebranding things, changing the name and things like that. And that reminded me of the 11-minute space flight those women took yesterday. Gayle King was one of the ones who was on the space flight. These women were so lost. Not only did they come back celebrating like they were conquering heroes, they're out there on the press tour, and they seem to be taken aback by the reception to the whole thing. Here was Gayle King.
What do you think when people say, oh, it's frivolous? Number one, they call it a ride, which I find very irritating, because they never say men went for a ride. What do you say to people who think that this was...
Okay, first of all, they never say men went for a ride. The men are operating the equipment. That's the difference. And by the way, there are female astronauts too. The actual female astronauts are operating the equipment. If I show up and I put on a spacesuit and get strapped in and sit there, I don't know, playing on my iPhone for 11 minutes in outer space and don't do anything, don't press any buttons, don't operate any equipment, then it's a ride. If I'm actually flying it, it's not a ride. Anyway, I'll let her go back.
What do you think when people say, oh, it's frivolous? Number one, they call it a ride, which I find very irritating because they never say men went for a ride. What do you say to people who think that this was frivolous or just a ride? You know, I think the message that it sends is very, very powerful. And the people that say that, by the way, weren't there.
And she goes on.
And I'm so...
No, I'm sorry. I have to play this. The message that it sends is powerful? What? What's powerful? They're all saying this kind of stuff today. They're on this big press tour of... it's Katy Perry on my life. I'm not making this up. Katy Perry, the singer, one of the singer chicks who went up there, she actually said, it's good to be home. Like she was Shackelford, stuck down in Antarctica, fighting the whales and ice for months at a time. She was in space for 11 minutes, and now she gets back. Woo! Feels like it's been forever. I don't even recognize the world anymore. It's just good. It's just good to be home. Times have really changed while I was gone anyway.
And I'm so proud of us. I really am proud of me because I never in a gazillion years thought I could do this. And I just saw a video of us walking up the, I don't want to call it plank, but what's the proper?
I'm so proud of us. I'm so proud of me. I knew I could do it. It's seriously, I joked yesterday about it being the What About Bob thing when he gets strapped to the sail. And it's like, my trick is I just let the boat do all the work. They did it. They actually did it in real life. Only they're dead serious about it. Absolutely dead serious about it. Jesse, I thought you might like a laugh. I've always asked my 14-year-old son, how do you know if somebody's a vegan or vegetarian? Don't worry, they'll let you know. We went on a cruise and my son went to get a hot dog and a Philly cheesesteak. He came back and said, you were right. Apparently the woman in front of him asked for a veggie burger and then announced, I'm a vegetarian. He said while she was in line, she talked to people multiple times about being a vegetarian. He said the saddest part was having to admit his father was right again. I'll tell you, that is something that used to drive my sister and I crazy about my father. And... I've actually seen it come to fruition in my own life as well. My dad was right all the time. All the time. I don't know what it was. And, it, you know, in your youth, you get to certain stages where dad's an idiot, of course, right? Ah, dad's dumb. Dad, you don't understand. Dad, times have changed. Dad, that, and it would turn out, I can't count how many times he was right every single time. He was always right to the point it was just obnoxious how often dad was right. And now I get to experience this with my kids. It happens all the time. I will give them a piece of advice about something or let them know about something. Sometimes they take it and I'm proved right. Sometimes they don't take it and I'm proved right. And they'll have to say, you were right again about that. And I am so unbelievably obnoxious in that moment. I want you to know that I don't handle it in any kind of a mature way. I rub it in their faces repeatedly over and over and over again. Oh, real quick story, funny story before I do headlines. My youngest son, he is, I'll be honest, he's probably not listening right now. It's not past his bedtime, but it's getting up there. So I can tell you this, I kind of admire how slow he moves. Ob and I are both sense of urgency people. We got to go now. We're never late. We're always early. Go, 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 go. We got to move. We're both this way. My oldest son is this way. My youngest son could not be more opposite. He will saunter wherever he's going, take his time. And you could call him slow, and we scream at him and call him slow. But in reality, that doesn't affect him either, because if you talk to him about it, he just doesn't see the need to rush. He's moving at his own pace. He doesn't care how angry you are about it. He doesn't care about anything. He's going to get wherever he's getting. Oh, I know, Chris. I know, it'd make you want to blow a gasket. You would blow a gasket. The amount of times Ob and I have been in the car honking the horn because he's the last one out of the house. It's every single time. Anyway, so during the show last night, I didn't tell you because it was towards the end of the show. During the show, I got an email from his school that he got a detention. Now, my kids have had one or two before, but in general, they're very well-behaved kids. They don't get detentions. They're a lot better than I was. And I thought, wow, okay, what did he do? He got a detention because he was tardy too many times. He was tardy too many times because the class is in a separate building, and while the other kids are hustling to and fro, not him. He's just going to kind of get there whenever he gets there. Oh, am I late again? Dang. It made me laugh terribly. Absolutely terribly. I respect it.
And now.
Here's a headline.
Go, you know the thing.
Headlines we didn't get to.
Have you bought your gold? Have you gotten gold into your retirement yet? Oh, it did the repeating thing. You need to get gold in your retirement. You understand that the markets are still going up and down and that we don't know what's going to happen with this trade war. You need to get gold as part of your retirement, and you need to allow Gold Co. to do that for you because they know what they're doing. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau for a reason. You can trust them. Do not lose all the retirement you've worked for your entire freaking life. Go to jesselikesgold.com and sign up. That's it, jesselikesgold.com. They'll send you a free gold and silver kit, by the way, a free, if you just want to read up on it. jesselikesgold.com or call 855-817-GOLD. That's all.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.